It's your SNL Stand By Line podcast
with your hosts, Jill and Amanda.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi.
Hi, you're listening to another episode of the Stand By Line. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jill.
And today, we have an awesome conversation with somebody who works on the show. His name is Greg Scarnici, and he is an associate producer on SNL. Before we jump into our conversation with him, we want to give you a little bit of news. First up, AD Bryant's TV show, Shrill, has been renewed for a third season. I cannot wait to see number three. Secondly, Colin Jost's book, A Very Punchable Face, has been postponed. The launch is now going to be in July of 2020. That was actually supposed to be, I think, April, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Also, we want to take a moment to just mention Hal Wilner from the SNL music production team. We found out the day before recording this that he has passed due to complications associated with COVID-19. So we just want to send all of our love and positive thoughts and healing vibes to the cast and crew from our Standby Line team.
And obviously, I didn't know him as a person, but I am a big fan of the show, and I'm a fan of, you know, what I have heard on the show of his. And from what I have seen from the cast members and the crew, what they have posted, it seems like he was such a loved, talented,
hugely,
like, good person. So, like, really well-loved. So, I mean, if anyone is listening, you know, like, our thoughts are out with you. And then anyone who doesn't know who he is, you should, in, you know, in his memory and his honor, go check out his stuff and see what he's done on SNL.
Yeah, absolutely. And check out a lot of the cast and crew's Instagram posts. They have really, really nice, loving tributes to him.
Speaking of the cast and Instagram as well, if you haven't been catching it, I highly suggest any cast members you do follow on Instagram to go to their notifications and set it for live stories, because a ton of them have been doing live stories. Most recently, Heidi and Ego did a QVC parody. Melissa and Chloe did a impressions thing. Melissa does an Instagram every day at 2 p.m. Eastern time. She has different themes. They have been really, like, I've been looking forward to them every day. They make me laugh. So if you're needing a laugh and you don't know about those, go check it out. Set notifications to the cast members' live stories, because a lot of them are doing stuff, and I think they're going to continue doing it.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they're also searching the way we are for something to do and something to fill their days and ways to feel connections.
Mm-hmm. And that's really, like, special. Thank you.
Speaking of, we reached out to a couple of cast members to see if they had any advice or words of wisdom for the quarantine for you. And
yeah, Heidi messaged us, and I just wanted to read her message out to you guys, because it's really uplifting, and it was sweet to her, and it was something that she wanted you guys to know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and read it. She says, "During this time, we are kind of stuck, so don't run from your feelings. Feel them, and then write them down. It can help you problem solve and can get to the root of maybe where some of the tough emotions or habits have started for you." Already amazing.
Yeah.
And then she also goes on to say, "If you have a pet, be as present as possible with them at this time. This is probably special for them, getting your undivided attention." And, you know, that goes for your partners, and this is me speaking, but that goes for your partners and, like, your kids too. But she also goes on to say, "Get down on their level, make eye contact. You may never get time to connect with them like this again." And I guess it could go for people too, she says. And, you know, just stay safe, be careful, and we're all in this together, so.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, I thought that was really sweet of us, of, like, her to tell us and to let you, like, she wanted you guys to know it, so.
Yeah, that's really sweet of her. Heidi has one of the biggest hearts of anybody in the world. So, also, Cecily did an Instagram Live with Megan Rapinoe on the day that we're recording this, and some of the things she said was that kindness goes a long way right now, even if that's all you have to give. That's a lot to somebody that maybe you don't realize. And then she said, "I really have to focus on being kind to myself and being kind to others."
Yeah, that's super important too. I hope you guys are taking care of yourself. And, you know, we're going to keep reaching out to cast members and crew members. And when we get stuff from them, we will share it with you guys, because I think it helps everybody right now feel connected. I think they're all, some of them just, you know, aren't in the mindset or don't have the energy, and that is fine.
Yeah.
My message to everyone is, you know, like, don't put pressure on them. Don't ask them for things. Don't expect things from them.
Right.
Because they're humans too. And it is not their job right now to.
Yeah. We're all fighting right now.
Yeah. It's not their job right now to, you know, entertain us or keep us whatever, you know, they're going through this too. So just, you know, be mindful with everyone. Be mindful with yourself. Be mindful with people you love. And yeah, I think that's really great advice from them.
Yeah. And I think that they're also missing, you know, their work family the way that we're missing
the
show.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah. Their lives are upside down too. So just remember that in this time, not for yourself, but everyone around you too. And yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, be gentle with yourself as well. But that's kind of the reason we started reaching out, because we wanted to have these conversations with people who work on the show, because we are also seeking connection with something that we also really love. So today we have a very special episode for you. It is a phone call with Greg Scarnici, an associate producer on the show. So if you just want to hang out.
So and here's our phone call right now.
So today we're chatting with Greg Scarnici, who is currently an associate producer on SNL, but he's also been a script coordinator there. Greg, we were looking at your website and you have a ton of credits in your body of work. You're like a real, I guess we would call it a jack of all trades. And we would like to talk to you about some of those things. Since this is an SNL podcast, we'll just kind of start with that. So our first question is, how did you end up on SNL? Like, where did that start?
I kind of got lucky growing up in New York and always working in comedy. I knew it's where I wanted to be because I didn't want to move to LA. And it was the obvious choice because I've been a fan of SNL ever since I was a kid. And it turns out that someone I worked with when I was in college at Macy's was fraternity brothers with Tom Broker, who still is our costume designer on the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he sent him a text and was like, hey, this kid is looking to get in, like, do you need any interns? And they brought me in as an intern in the costume department, which was really sweet. And then within 4 months, they knew I didn't want to work in costumes. They knew it was like a foot in the door, and nothing against costume department, it just wasn't what my goal was. And like within 4 months, like a part-time job opened up in the script department, and that's sort of how it started happening.
Wow, that's really cool.
That is neat. And we've heard a lot of from multiple different people that, you know, the best way to get like into the business is knowing somebody, obviously.
Without a doubt. But I think the lesson to be learned from me is like the best way to get your foot in the door is through interning.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
We have a friend who's trying to do that currently. So
fingers
because
crossed.
I can't tell you how many people that I still work with that started as interns or pages.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We see a lot of pages that we, you know, as we, because we go to the show every week. So we see pages there like one semester and the next semester they're working there. So it's things happen fast.
Yeah, I kind of feel like with the pages, it doesn't happen as much as it does with the interns because there's that quick turnaround. And with the interns, you could get a full year and get to know people and really, you know, show what your strengths are. But they're both great ways in the door for any kind of show you want to work on.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Were you like a fan of the show before you started working there?
Oh my God, completely. As a kid, I would like, this is going to tell you how old I was. I would record the show on my VCR and like pause the commercials so I could get like an hour long version of it. And then the era that I love was like starting 85, 86, sort of like with John Lovitz and then Jan Hooks. I was obsessed with the Sweeney Sisters.
Yeah,
of course.
Church
absolutely.
Lady. And that like, that was like the era that really hooked me in.
Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. I mean, well, those are like, I mean, Dana Carvey's a legend. So yeah.
Yeah. And I love Jan Hooks. She's like my favorite cast member ever. But even before that, when I was a little kid, my parents used to go out to dinner with their friends on Saturdays. And then my sisters would let us stay up late and watch SNL. And I used to love, even back in the day when it was like Eddie Murphy or even before that, I remember falling asleep when John Belushi was coming on when I was like 6 years old.
Yeah, when Eddie Murphy hosted this season, it was so, I don't even know what the word is, like surreal.
It was really kind of perfect because it was the show that everyone wanted. Like, there was nostalgia, there was new stuff, and it just felt so perfect for the holidays.
It was really incredible. I felt really lucky that we were able to be there for that, too.
Yeah, it was just like a special night. Everyone in the audience was like, oh my God, this is such, I'll never forget this. It was really great.
Right. Yeah, it was. So we see that you are credited as an associate producer. And what does that entail exactly?
Well, Well, an associate producer is basically someone that's in charge of an area, and you could be an associate producer and have a million different tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have an associate producer, Melanie Malone, and her job is basically working with the bands that come in each week.
Okay.
So she deals with them coming in and making sure they have everything they need and getting the stage plots and the songs for everybody and all of that. So she's an associate producer that deals with that. I mainly still work in the script department. So the things that I oversee are working with the writers to get all the changes from the sketches that they submit as they get rewritten each week. And then another one of my tasks is when the bands come in, I break down the songs for the director. That way, when he's shooting them live, he'll know, like, oh, here comes, like, a guitar solo, or
here comes
a background singer. So, like, I'll be, as the song is going on, I'm in the control room, like, counting backwards to things, like, for a background vocal. So then he'll, like, line up the camera shot so he can have a shot of, like, the lead singer with the background people in it as well. So that's one of my other things I do. And I guess the most important thing I do is me and Janine DeVito, who's another associate producer, we time the live fucking show, which is a nightmare.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, your job sounds like you have a massive amount of, like, pressure on you.
We totally do. But for some reason, I respond well in a live environment, and it doesn't really get me flustered because it's crazy. Like, well, you go into the show nowadays, honestly, between 9 and 12 minutes long.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean, that checks.
Yeah, but the crazy thing is some shows will pick up that time because the audience doesn't laugh as much. Other times we stretch further because the audience is amazing and they're responding to everything. So each show, you just have to really watch every single sketch and see how the show is performing. So you can inform the producers, like, hey, you're going to have to friggin' lose a sketch. The show's doing too good.
We have always been so curious about that. And especially about, like, when cue cards are changing while, like, the show was live. I always wondered why that was. But, I mean, this seems like a scenario in which that would happen.
Well, what happens is we tell them what the last two sketches of the night are. The producers call in the writers to us in the control room. And then we have to tell them, listen, bitch, you got to cut, like, three pages out of this thing. And then they freak out and they're like, they don't know how to do it. So Janine and I try to offer advice on, like, you could lose the opening VT and lose 5 seconds there, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily need this long intro. And then what happens is our interns and the rest of the people that work in our department then run to everyone on staff, including the cue card department, to try and get those changes in during a commercial break.
Yeah, because sometimes it's a matter of, like, I mean, they take out one or two words to save literally, like you said, like 3 seconds.
Yeah, and that's when we're like, girl, that ain't going to work. You got to cut more than that to get the sketch on there.
Yeah.
And when you put it that way, the writers are like, fine, like, you know, I'm really not happy with what's going to get on the air, but at least it's going to air. Or then other writers are like, just cut it because it's going to ruin the integrity of the piece. And then the other piece gets on the air and that other piece becomes, like, cut on air.
That's really interesting to know because we've always wondered that. So that's pretty cool to know.
Yeah. And it seems like basically your main work days is Saturday. I mean, what do you do for, like, the rest of the week? What does your week look like?
Well, Tuesday I'm getting the music from Ellen. So I break down the songs and I do cleanup work from the last week's show. Then Wednesday we have read through. So we're insane getting ready for that. And then the show gets picked, as you know, and then we're just preparing for the rehearsal days, Thursday and Friday. And those are crazy because, you know, we were maybe 4 or 5 pieces on Thursday and then the rest of them 6 or 7 on Friday.
So right.
We're getting loads of rewrites, you know, mainly before, directly after. And then a few hours later, once the writers sit with it and are like, that didn't work, let me change this. So our days are hectic all week long.
Oh, wow. That is a lot of pressure. So not even just on Saturdays, just all week. It's just a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nonstop. And the thing that's become sort of, like, normal nowadays is that people get to write later because, as you know, the news stories nowadays don't break till Friday nights, especially with Trump in office. Now it's become 11 p.m. and we're waiting to get the piece that's going to become the cold open because it just broke in the news 2 hours before that. So it's
and
lots
you're,
of pressure
yeah,
you're, and working fast.
You're not the first person to tell us, too, that sometimes, like, the cold open will be written, like, Saturday morning.
Some usually Saturday afternoon a lot of times, and Janine, who's basically ahead of me in the department, is like texting Colin Jost, like, do you have anything you could give us? And he'll feed us like 3 pages or 4 pages at a time. And we'll get that to cue cards and everybody else and the director. And literally, while we're supposed to be rehearsing it, we're getting the last two pages.
That's crazy.
You guys are like, you really, like, this show really is like the most well-oiled machine. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, and that's, everyone is doing things like, when costumes get the scripts, they're scrambling to get those outfits together, and the wigs are like, oh, nobody right. told me that, you know, Pete was going to be the senator. I got to make this wig now. So everyone is scrambling and doing their best.
You must just really have to, like you said, work well under pressure and kind of like fight. Your fight or flight instinct is very much to fight.
Yeah, I just look at it as you're not going to get anything done in life if you're stressed and pressed. So you just have to do the best you can, because that's how the best work gets done.
I mean, that's pretty fair.
And then,
if you get all nervous and anxious, you're just going to make mistakes. So don't let it happen.
Yeah, I think that's a really good perspective to look at it from. And I'm sure that that really helps in your day to day for sure.
Yeah. And it's also like, at the end of the day, it's a TV show, right?
Right. You're right.
So I say that to people all the time, because other people I work with get more stressed out than mm-hmm. I do. And I'm like, it's going to work out. It always does. Even That's when it's true. The worst case scenario, it works out.
That's true.
And then going back, I know you said like you love Jan Hooks and she's like one of your favorite cast members. But do you have like a favorite guest host or like episode from your time on the show? And I know that question is so loaded because I've been to 40 shows and like that's only 40, and people ask me and I'm like, I can't pick, so I can't imagine how hard it is for you,
right?
But do you have anybody that like comes to the top of your head that like was a host that you were like, this is really amazing that I'm getting to work with this person?
I mean, it's, to be honest with you, it's all a blur because 20 shows or 22 shows times 25 years,
right?
It's hard to pull. But I love when Lady Gaga's on, because she usually just waits till that week to like pull everything together, and it's so much fun to work with her and her process as she's like, wait a minute, that didn't work, let's change, let's get the dancers over here. And she has a really fiery, fun Aries energy,
yeah, which I imagine
respond to, because I am as well. And
right,
I like when she's on the show, because she loves SNL, she loves the people, she loves the process, and she just brings a really good energy.
You know, we've been speculating, I guess we had been before all of this happened, about who would be on the show, who would be host, musical guest.
We were hoping
for Lady Gaga this month in April.
Yeah,
and
but
so it's unfortunate that we didn't get to see.
Yeah, it wasn't on the boards when I was there, but who knows if they were saving it as a surprise or whatever, or now her album's being pushed back, so maybe it'll happen.
Yeah. Maybe it will.
I'm gonna keep pretending that she was.
She was gonna be there.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun, and I mean the greats are always great. That Eddie Murphy show was probably top five easily.
I can only imagine,
especially because you were somebody who used to watch it and used to watch him, and now you're like, I'm here working with him, like alongside him.
And he was so easy and fun to work with and just like chill and like, oh, we're ready to rehearse. Okay. Oh, we're done. All right. I'll be in my dressing room. Like everyone thought he was going to come and be like, I don't like this, I don't like that. And he was
really
so sweet. Yeah. Oh,
that's really good to hear.
That's the best story for sure. And one of the things we also wanted to ask, because we're particularly fond of the current cast right now, because they're the cast we have seen in the studio so many times. Do you have any fun or like standout moments from the current cast that like pops into your head? Anything that you've really enjoyed with them?
As far as sketches they've done, or
I mean, any, yeah, anything. Yeah, anything like moments of working with them or rehearsals or sketches.
I mean, Cecily is one of my favorites. I just think she's so strong, and I love a strong female performer on SNL. And they did a sketch earlier this year where she was flying with Beck. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
They were in some like Art Deco hotel. And then
right.
They would just start flying while they were singing.
Yes.
And the rehearsal of that was just so much fun, because every time someone flies for the first time, it's like they're so excited like little kids. And the rehearsal for it was forever, but it was so much fun just to see everyone like getting excited to like fly in the air.
We were at the dress rehearsal for that one, and it was really funny.
It was
an absolute
delight.
Like that happened. What's that? Yeah,
I said it was
exactly.
Yeah, and we are particularly fond of Cecily as well. Like, we know how strong of a performer she is. So just to see her, like, having a lot of fun with something, it's great for us as audience members, too.
I mean, another great time was the first time Leslie Jones did an update feature when she was still a writer, because I knew mm-hmm. how funny she was from other things that she's done.
Right.
It was just, like, a great moment, because everyone that worked on the show was like, oh, my God, she just killed it. You know, I was so happy for her. And no one knew what to expect, because they really weren't exposed to her comedy before that on the show that much.
Oh, I love that story.
And I feel like that's kind of the same thing that happened this year with Bowen, too, because we knew Bowen as a writer, and then he came on and just killed it. Yeah,
every single thing he does, even if it's one line, he's... Mm-hmm. He reminded me of Keenan in a way, because Keenan, honestly, I can't think of maybe more than two sketches that he did not get a laugh in, like, his entire tenure there.
Right.
And Bowen's the same way. Every time he has one fucking line in a sketch, it's hysterical.
Yeah, I mean,
he's brilliant.
So versatile. This cast is very versatile. I feel like we're very lucky to have them.
Yeah, it's great right now.
And then kind of moving out of SNL, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but, like, outside of SNL, you have ongoing, like, creative endeavors, and you have this one project where this one part of your life we really love, and you are Lavonia Jenkins.
Yes, yeah. I'm a
What can you tell us about her?
Queen.
I was just going to say, we actually went to one of your shows at the Stonewall. That's where we met you the first time when you were, speaking of Cecily, you were performing with Cecily as Lavonia. And that was just one of the most fun drag shows we've ever been to.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, I remember when you guys came and introduced yourselves afterwards. Yeah, it was a really fun show. It was like, I love that place because it's so small and intimate, like 60, 70 people in a room. It just makes it feel special.
It was incredible. We're not from New York. Like, we don't live in New York, so it was our first time at Stonewall. So it was really special when we went upstairs and saw the room. I was so excited.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and on top of that, it's so legendary. Like, this is the first time I've ever performed at Stonewall. I always do shows at, like, more like theater kind of venues or whatever. But a friend of mine runs that place, and long story short, I'm glad I did it there.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It was a great show. But we did want to ask you, how long have you been performing as Lavonia? I think I read, like, her origins in Dungeons and Drag Queens, but I would like for you to tell our listeners.
Yeah, so basically, where I am right now, I'm at my house on Fire Island.
Right.
It's summer out here. And the island sort of inspires a lot of the work that I do as far as drag and everything, all my writing. I write all my books out here usually, too. And basically, my friends and I have, like, all these IKEA bags of drag. Like, there's one of just wigs, there's one of outfits from rainbow shops, and there's heels everywhere. So occasionally, we'll just, like, decide to throw on an outfit while everyone's having, like, brunch or dinner, and then show up in drag, like, in the middle of it.
So, I mean,
people.
So if you get all your inspiration out there, I mean, it's safe to say you must write all your own stuff for her. Like, when you perform the show and you wrote all those songs...
Is that, like, did you write that yourself?
Yeah, I write all my own stuff. That's why, like, when I do shows, I'm not really the kind of drag queen that performs in a bar and just, like, does audience work and lip syncs.
Right.
Like, I write more, like, cabaret-type shows, I guess you mm-hmm. could say, that has, like, an overall theme and lots of ridiculous nonsense, as you guys saw.
I mean, your comedic creativity is... I can't believe you wrote that whole, like, and that was just one small show, and it was like you wrote all that stuff on it, and it was like, it's no surprise you work on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I try to do, like, one or two shows a year, so I'm able to put a lot of time into writing and rehearsing it.
Right.
Which definitely helps. And getting back to your question earlier, so Lavonia basically got created one day when I showed up with this gross wig that I had from a Madonna parody. That I shot in 2009 and throw on a gold lamé dress and just showed up on my deck while everyone was drunk having brunch. And my friend was like, all right, let's shoot a video. Let's go on the roof and just improvise something. And I just did some kind of like Paris is Burning, like runway back and forth as he improvised. And the name Lavonia Jenkins came out in the middle of it. And that was my name.
That's wild.
And there it is.
I mean, like, you do so much involving her. Like, you don't just do shows, and we'll talk about it later, you know, when we talk about some upcoming stuff you have, but, like, you do, you don't just write stuff for her. Like, you do videos and music videos. And I'm always just like, I don't know how he has time to do all this. Like, you do so much.
Yeah, I mean, the one good thing about SNL is that we have really long days, but there's also days with downtime.
Right.
So whenever there's downtime, I could, like, you know, fix the mix of a song that I'm working on in an hour or whatever. So it helps. And also, as you guys know, we have two, maybe three shows a month, and the other time is mine, which is one of the reasons I love working there, because I'm able to work on all my shit when I'm not at SNL.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And have you ever, like, considered pitching Livonia for SNL?
I actually did last year because
really?
I wasn't that crazy about the way that we handled, like, Kevin Hart getting the boot from hosting the Oscars. And I wrote an update feature as Livonia. And I wrote it for me and Cecily, and Cecily was all about it.
Oh my God.
Colin read it. And
we're
going to
start,
really
we're going to start like crying right now that we didn't get to see this.
And then long story short, like, Lauren's main focus is, we have such a huge cast, is he wants to get the new people and the stars out on Weekend Update so people get familiar with them, because that's where people fall in love with SNL people, when they get to see them talk for 2 or 3 minutes and be funny. So long story short, there just wasn't enough room. Like, we have such a bloated cast right now. It's 17 people. Right.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So it's not like in 1987 when there were 8 cast members and they could put, like, a Whitney Brown on randomly for an update feature.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, when SNL comes back, I hope that you continue to pitch her, because I would love everybody to see it, and I think they would think it's so funny.
The other thing is, I kind of feel like the drag that I do is definitely not mainstream. Like, I keep my beard.
That's fair.
And sort of ridiculous.
But I think that's good for, I think it's good for people to see, you know?
Without a doubt. But yeah. I think the world is, you know, if there is going to be any kind of, like, drag on mainstream shows, they ain't going to have a beard.
Yeah. We're looking for, we're looking at RuPaul, I suppose, which is not a bad thing, but I get what you mean.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Livonia auditioned for Drag Race many times, and I actually met the casting director. And he's like, every single year you submitted, I've put you in for my top 15. But I just think that the producers and Ru just don't want a bearded drag queen.
Which is unfortunate, because she's the best.
That's incredible. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about how you wrote that piece and it was for you and Cecily, or you pitched that piece rather. Did she have any input, like, in that, or, like, the show that we saw at Stonewall?
Yeah, I mean, I pitched her the idea, and then I sent it to her to see what she thought. And to be honest with you, she was like, this is great, I'm fine with it. At first, she was like, she wasn't sure if she wanted to be herself or be some kind of ally. And then I gave two different versions, and I think we went with the one when she was playing an ally.
Right, right. Well, that makes sense.
Female drag queen. So that was, I was like, you need to have a big character to be up against the bearded drag queen. So that's what we came up with.
Yeah, that's fair.
And as far as the show at Stonewall, it was the same thing. I came up with ideas, pitching to her, and she's like, that sounds great. I'm like, why don't you do that Christmas song you did on SNL? Everybody loves it. She's like, that sounds great. And it was easy.
Yeah, we made a Christmas decoration. We put, like, one of the, you know how...
You handed out the printouts.
At the show, you handed out the printouts of the lyrics that you wrote. You rewrote Christmas songs with different lyrics, and you made them kind of, like, provocative and funny. And we kept those, and we put them in a little frame, and they're a Christmas decoration now.
Oh my God, I love that story. That's hysterical.
I was like, so when my mom comes over, we have to take it down, but otherwise we can leave it up.
You may not even get half references because they're just so filthy and gay.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it was so
it's
fun.
It's so funny. The show that you guys went to, your audience was so much fun. And, like, when I asked people to sing, I didn't know if they were going to sing. And you guys all did, and it made it so much fun. The next week, it was more of, like, a non-audience participation crowd, and, like, 4 people sang.
And that's hard when you're, you know, a drag queen doing, like, performances. Because you kind of, it's like SNL. You rely on, like, participation and laughs and...
And it all depends on the audience. Like, we were done, the tech guy was like, was that a completely different show from last week? Because the material was exactly the same.
What happened there? That's weird. Well, I'm not saying it was us. I'm just saying we're very good at audience participation.
We just had a lot of fun.
Yeah, we do. And I was going to ask you if you have any more like upcoming live streams planned during like while we're doing the quarantining thing.
I think a couple weeks ago I had saw that you were promoting like a Livonia show like live on quarantine. So any kind of stuff like that for people who might want to like tune in and get a piece of her.
Yeah, I mean, I did that one a few weeks ago because whenever the like we went through really bad shit in America, like when Trump got elected, right. Livonia used to go live on Facebook just to like make people happy and try and give them a better perspective on things. And so I felt like I needed to do something now and just right. address it. But I don't think I'll be doing it again because I'm out on Fire Island and the internet mm-hmm. here is so choppy that I don't think I'll be able to do anything. It's probably just going to cut out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
So as far as
and that, I also feel like the current climate right now, I have so many friends who work for nightlife that are really suffering. And right. I want them to do the live gigs and put their Venmo there and get all the money. So, you know, a few less people doing it. You've seen Instagram and right. Facebook. Everyone's going live now and everyone needs money. Let the people that need it have the attention right now.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, that's really like, you have like a big heart to do that, you know?
Yeah. Just wouldn't be able to, it wouldn't feel right if I was like, oh, I'm going live and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, my friend over here is having right. trouble paying the rent next month.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And as far as that, so, you know, if you're going to kind of leave that to the other drag queens, like when all this kind of ends, and you do start, you know, doing shows or events again, where's the best place for, like, people to find events or tickets? Do you have a website or should they just kind of watch your Instagram?
Yeah, I mean, nowadays I always maintain a website, gregscarnici.com.
Okay.
This is my Instagram or Facebook or Livonia's. And I'm really a whore about promoting because nowadays social media is so inundated with so much shit that you just got to throw your stuff out there so people know what's going on.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. One other thing I wanted to... go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. A lot of people are scared to, like, promote their own shit. I'm like, no one's going to know about it unless you fucking tell them.
I was, like, so grateful that you... I would have never known... We wouldn't have gone to that show if you hadn't promoted it.
That's true.
Exactly. It's not like I got, you know, the budget to hire and so I'm getting out of the New York Times.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of like projects that you're doing, you're also an author, which I told you that night that I met you. I read your book, Dungeons and Drag Queens, which I loved. But you've written more than just that. So I'm curious to know if you have a favorite book that you've written or one that was the most fun to write.
I mean, I kind of love them all. I also do like photo parody books. So I shot a parody of Madonna's sex book. Mm-hmm. And for any of you millennials out there, back in the 90s, Madonna shot a sex book and it's amazing. And that was really fun to shoot. And then last summer, I shot a parody of a 1970s gay porn magazine. So I would say those are the most fun because it's like brainstorming ridiculous concepts and like getting naked and having right. fake sex with people. So yeah. This is a lot more fun than, like, I also love writing, obviously, but it's not as fun as, like, coming up with concepts for my books and, you know, rewriting them over the course of a year.
Yeah, and just getting to play.
And I think...
Completely.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know when it was, a week or two or something ago, you were doing an Instagram Live and you were talking with somebody, and did I hear that you are in the process of writing another book?
Yeah, I'm on my third collection of essays right now, and
okay.
a lot of people that me in life, I've had like a lot of health problems throughout my life, and I've learned a lot of like bizarre sort of like either holistic or spiritual practices that have helped me through it. So it's all about like, going to doctors and getting horrible advice and all the weird shit that's happened to me in Western medicine.
Right.
And I was born a gimp so far. It's all about my stories of having horrible health and like weird doctors hit on me and just like it's we'll see. Well, hopefully, you know, people are interested in reading about it.
Well, I definitely am for sure. So I'm also curious if you have a process when you're writing something. I know it can't always be easy to write anything, but especially comedy, which I have read that you do very well from your books your book that I read. Do you have like a process that gets you in the mindset of doing that?
I kind of feel like it's the same process I use for either writing music or creating a mm-hmm. song or doing anything. I'll get the inspiration for something, And then I'll just sit down and start fleshing it out, right? And the first one kind of sucks, the focus and changes. And then it's all about the editing process after that. Like, you got to revisit it. And then you have right. to revisit it again. So it's all about, I think it's all about fine tuning, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Yeah, that you makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you can't jump into a project and be like, it's going to be amazing and this is what it's going to be, because then it doesn't allow it to organically grow. And then you're not really creating. You're just like trying to work from a template, which is not fun. And if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm kind of a perfectionist. So like, I'd never really thought about it that way, and like it being a process in anything you do, but that's 100% true.
Yeah, I mean, even when I write my like memoirs, like I'll do a story, but then after I reread it, I'm like, you totally forgot this part, you forgot this part, and you have to right. just flesh it out better. So people, whenever they want to be creative, I tell them like, expect shit the first time around, but you're gonna fucking turn it into gold if you keep polishing it.
Yeah, I love that advice. So where can our listeners buy your books? What are they located on, like major platforms?
Yeah, all my books are on Amazon, and I have links to everything on my websites, and that's basically it.
I was also going to ask you that I read in Dungeons and Drag Queens that you do some DJing as well, and I want to know if you ever sleep.
Well, I love DJing. I love music. It's a big part of who I am and my creativity. And believe it or not, I get 8 hours of sleep a night, because that's another thing that I need in life. And I think most people do. I'm just really yeah. good at being organized and like, you know, organizing when I'm going to have gigs around SNL's schedule.
Right.
And I've made it work somehow.
Well, we're really glad that you have, because it's been like, just as someone, I think I've been following you on Instagram for a while now, but I do want to ask now, what have you been doing with your newfound free time? Like, do you have any projects in the works right now?
It's kind of funny. When this whole thing started, the first week I was working on my new book, and then little by little, this situation started to get really sad and overwhelming, and I just lost my creative urge. So I didn't press it. That's another thing about creativity. You can't force it, because it's just not going to happen.
Right, absolutely.
So my husband and I are lucky enough. We just bought this house on Fire Island 2 months ago. So we moved out here, and we've been like deranged about renovating the entire place and painting, which has been really great to keep my mind off things all day long.
I've been watching like your Instagram saga of like all the work you've been doing on it.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I'm kind of crazy when it comes to like getting all this done. So it's been a great distraction. And I had a show that was supposed to go up on April 22nd. I'm doing like Livonia's doing a tribute to Prince.
Mm-hmm.
So that got canceled, pushed till September. So when I have downtime and when I'm not going to drive my husband crazy, I've been rehearsing songs, because I'm going to need more time. Because I'll tell you one thing, that fucking bastard's hard. His songs are hard to sing.
I believe you.
I really appreciated your Joe Exotic parody.
Oh my God, so funny.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I looked in my closet. I was like, I have this wig. Let me just throw this thing together.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty
good. You guys have been watching this show?
Oh, Tiger King? We started a little bit, but like enough to know.
Enough to like get a grasp on who they are, and then we can just fill in the blanks from there.
Without a doubt, they're all crazy, they're all deranged, they're all on drugs, and that's the end.
And we know that actually Kate is set to star as Carol in like a series that's gonna, like a fictional series or something.
Yeah, I read about that 2 weeks ago.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so that should be interesting.
Yeah, I think it's like a cultural phenomenon, so I'm glad for her.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then just to kind of wrap up, where can, like, if people want to go ahead and follow you after listening to this interview, where can they follow you and keep up with your news?
Yeah, it's difficult having my shit and also like a drag queen shit, because there's a million social medias.
Right.
So I try to post the most fun stuff on like my Instagram, you know, everything is Greg Scarnici, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And I kind of feel like I use them all differently. Twitter's more about whatever, when I remember to do something. Instagram is more about my daily life, and Facebook's more about like being personal and expressing how I feel. So whatever appeals to anybody, you can find me on any one of those platforms.
Yeah.
All right,
and
perfect.
I suggest you all to follow because it's a lot of funny content.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's very, it's really cool to get to know you as a person, you know, as much as you can through social media.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. And I'm glad we had this opportunity to talk. I know you guys are huge fans of the show, and yeah. I hope I gave you some insight, you know, interesting insights into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
People are going to love this. I mean, when we kind of promoted that you were doing it, people were really excited. So I think somebody on the show the other day told us, they were like, I don't know why you guys think I'm cool. And I'm like, but as fans of the show, anybody who like helps make the helps make the show happens is like really, you know, that's really cool. That's cool to us standing on the sidelines and standing behind all of it and just getting to see you guys work. So it is really cool. And we like, especially now, you know, the cast members get a lot of, you know, credit and stuff, but like, especially now it's a time to remember, like, you know, you guys like behind the scenes and the crew members and how hard you guys work. And right. like, we really appreciate all the work that you and everyone puts into the show.
Oh, that's really nice to hear. Yeah. It's a lot of work. And I'm glad that somebody is aware that it happens.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your day and your busy, you know, remodeling work to chat with us.
I gotta get back to painting now.
Yeah. We really appreciate you talking to us. And we're really grateful that was able to happen. So a big thank you to you.
All right. Thank you. And you too, stay safe. And thank you for both for like being teachers and a pharmacist during this, you know, terrible time. And take care of yourselves.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good.
So that was it. That was our phone call with Greg Scarnici. He is the associate producer and associate producer on Saturday Night Live.
A script coordinator, an author, a DJ, a drag queen. Like what else could you need?
100 million things is what he's got going on. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got a little something out of it. Be sure to check Greg out on social media. It's Greg Scarnici. That's GregScarnici. Greg Scarnici. Also, don't forget to rate and subscribe to us, The Standby Line, on all of your podcast listening platforms. Please write us a review if you have the chance. It really helps us out. It helps us reach more listeners. And you can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Standby Line, or visit us online.
And if you guys want to connect with us in any way possible, feel free to email us literally about
anything
about, you know, your favorite SNL sketches, your favorite season, stories about SNL, anything. Just go ahead and email us and we'll read stuff on episodes because, you know, we don't have a lot of content to report to you guys right now. So anything you have, go ahead, send us, and we can connect with you guys. And hopefully our next episode will have another cool guest for you guys. We're trying to line up something else for you guys.
Yeah, fingers crossed. So you can find our contact form at snlstandbyline.com, or you can email us at snlstandbyline@gmail.com. You've been listening to The Standby Line and our wonderful conversation. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jill.
And we'll talk to you soon, hopefully.
Stay safe, guys. Bye.